This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Another floater from 16 short, and he chased down the loose ball. Miami just bringing more effort than Philadelphia the last couple of games. And Butler drains a three with 5 minutes to go. Jimmy Butler, 30 points in what looks like a second-round clincher for the Miami Heat.
Jimmy Buckets, getting buckets in Philly, where he used to play for the Sixers, and Joel Embiid certainly misses him. And the Sixers, done for the season, out in the second round once again, the call on ESPN Radio. How you doing, everybody? Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. Barton Hahn, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Bart, it's Friday. What do we call it?
We call it F It Fridays.
Yeah, that's how we do it.
Let it ball all in the Hudson, man.
And it's F It in Philly right now, right? I mean, what, like, you
Embiid after this game was something different in Philly. Yo, frustration.
It's Embiid after the game was as real as you could be when it comes to his frustration with the team. I mean, where they're at when this is, and we knew this was coming, right? It's over. So now it's, of course, going through. I mean, this is where you go through now that you pick through the carcass and you figure out where do they go from here. We eulogize a season that we kind of knew was going to be laid to rest at some point in the second round once they met up with the Heat, and once you saw that James Harden was what we thought he was. There's some frustration about this with James Harden. It's really, you know what? When you think about the NBA, Bart, and you think about where the frustration is with a lot of fans with the NBA, the current NBA, players that don't want to play, teams that don't try to win, all the tons of money, paying a guy not to play, all this stuff, right? And you get a guy like Harden that you've seen in certain parts of his career where he could be a dynamic player. You know what he's capable of, right? But he's not a winner, we've said. So in the second half of last night, in an elimination game, he took just two shots.
Right.
He missed them both. What are we doing? Like, it has reached that point where you stare at him, and I bet you Embiid just stares at him like, this is what you got? And Stephen A. had a really interesting theory about it. Let's call this Straight Talk, by the way, Straight Talk Wireless. Stephen A., First Take host, of course. This is on NBA Countdown. This is after the game. And when he was saying it, he was saying what I was thinking. Listen to this about James Harden's performance and its impact on Doc Rivers.
That performance by James Harden requires an investigation. How in God's name do you play? You go 22 minutes in the second half and attempt one shot. It was a horrific performance, anemic and impotent performance by James Harden. Mm. And I'm really interested in seeing what the Philadelphia 76ers are going to do with Doc Rivers, because I smell something and it don't smell right at all. And I'm going to leave it at that for the moment.
Straight Talk, by the way, Straight Talk Wireless, yeah. No contract, no compromise. What do you smell there, Bart?
I mean, here's the thing, right? And it doesn't smell good. But also the fact that some of the comments saying he has to get the ball back and all that stuff, he's pointing the finger, which is the classic Roscoe Jenkins eye guy. And if you don't care enough in an opportunity when you're a player, that the narrative is that you can't win a championship with him, to give more of an effort, more of a fight than that, then how can you embolden him even more by giving him $50 million a year? So when you think about it from that perspective, he has the best big man that he's ever played with. Arguably one of the best players he's ever played with. And this is the best that you're going to give him, not showing up. And listen, Joel Embiid, I have no problems with Joel Embiid, the effort and which he gave out. It seems like Harden is comfortable with being who he is, that he doesn't care about what the naysayers say. Because Joel Embiid came back and gave you two wins. What game can we say that James Harden came back, and I know he shot well, said, hey, he took over, he carried the team? It is none. When you got Shake Milton out there playing with a sense of desperation and nobody else is out there playing with a sense of desperation, you got a team problem. And you talk about attitude reflect leadership. Mm-hmm. You know, what is the leadership of Joel Embiid and what's the leadership of James Harden? And could you tell me that this team wouldn't have had a better chance winning with Ben Simmons than with James Harden? No. Even with all the issues.
After all that from last year?
After all that, you thought that James Harden was the upgrade. He was the unicorn. He was the guy that was going to get this team over the hump. He got them in a worse position than they were last year, with Joel Embiid playing better because he wasn't as well. He got injured, but he playing better. So they have some issues and they got some questions they got to answer, because I'm not comfortable with giving him $50 million a year and that's the type of effort you're going to get. And don't tell me that a new coach is going to change his effort, because if your effort is selective, then I don't want a guy like that.
And we've been learning that about him the last couple of years, right? How he got his way out of Houston, how he got his way out of Brooklyn was him just saying, I'm not going to play. I'm just going to be a menace until you get rid of me. And that does question the character. Now, again, it's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, talking about the Sixers season ending. As the Heat beat them, as expected, they beat them in six. And now the Heat move on to the conference finals. We should be talking about that and Jimmy Butler and all those things. And we will, of course, because there's that angle of this whole story. But right now we stay in Philadelphia just because of the disaster that the process has turned into. You know, this whole notion that the process was a way to go. And I can't believe what Sam Hinkie started to do with that franchise and all the losing on purpose that they did and collecting draft picks, what did it result in? And so many other franchises had copied it and said, oh, yeah, you know what? That's a way to go. We can't really compete for a championship. So let me sell to my owner that we can win by losing. Yeah. Look what you've done to a whole generation of professional sports, where people actually believe that the good thing to do, the right thing to do, is to lose on purpose just to collect draft picks. And I'll tell you what, the death knell was when you traded with Danny Ainge, the first and the third pick, and you took Markelle Fultz and they took Jason Tatum. I mean, think about that. Just how just dumb that looked.
Yeah.
And that was your death knell. That was it. Because it was just mistake after mistake. You got one redeeming piece and it's Joel Embiid. Yes, Ben Simmons turned into an all-star, but where is he now? The whole idea of losing on purpose is that it'll turn into long-term winning. It has not. And so now there's Joel Embiid, and he's sitting there, the process. The only thing that worked in all those years of losing, the only thing that worked out for you. And now what does he do? As he is, first of all, he's locked up. He's under contract. He signed the extension. It doesn't even start until 2023, right? Where he just started 4 years, almost $200 million. That doesn't start for another season. But listen to what Keyshawn John said this morning, Bart. When I heard it, I was like, it's crazy. But in today's NBA, it's not so crazy. Take a listen.
Where's Joel Embiid's contract at? Is he in it long haul? Could he all of a sudden at some point be in Miami with a Jimmy Butler? Get away from Philly
and get. I mean, brother,
could that all of a sudden be that?
I've never thought about that.
Oh.
But you're the one that told me if a player don't want to be somewhere, he ain't got to be there. So I don't know if I see Joel Embiid leaving Philly, but you're sniffing on something though, man. And nobody's talking about.
Wait, well, you just said relationship.
No. But that's what I'm saying. You're sniffing on something because I can make the case to you that Philly's done a horrible job of putting pieces around Joel to help him get to where he wants to be.
That all is true. Now, as I mentioned, there's not a lot of leverage here on the surface because he has a four-year, $195 million contract extension that begins in 2023, and it doesn't end until 2027 when he's 32 years old. So it's not like he can hold out or any of that stuff. But wait, Bart. Haven't we already seen players who have contracts that still have years left on them and find their way out of their situations? Didn't Philly just have a guy do that?
No, absolutely. Listen, we've seen that, but I can't fathom them taking the crown jewel of the process and letting it walk away. I mean, just look at the failed pieces in the process. Wasn't the guy named Bennett that they took out there? I mean, they've had some horrible – no, Bennett was the Cavaliers – the players that they picked up in this process, nobody's even still around but Joel Embiid.
Right.
And, you know, those picks were out of the league early, too.
It's not like they picked. Or just became ordinary players. Again, Fultz has gone through injury after injury. Nerlens Noel was another high draft pick that they thought they would, you know, go with. And then he's been all over the place. Like, they just haven't really done a good job. And then Simmons is the other one. But Simmons, they handle. You know, it's one thing to make draft picks. It's another thing to develop. Now, Embiid got himself right and then developed himself into a star. But that was, you give a lot of credit to him just taking it seriously. Ben Simmons, they handled poorly because they did it with kid gloves. Right. And you could see it. And once Brett Brown left as head coach, suddenly he didn't want to play anymore. He didn't like Doc Rivers and because Doc was more of an old school kind of approach. So now they move that. Now they got to find a new coach. And now they got to figure out what they do with James Harden, who said, oh, no, I plan on being here next year. Of course you do. You got 47 million reasons to be here next year. But I know Embiid doesn't have a ton of leverage. But here's the point, I think, when Key said that, what I thought was this. If you're Philadelphia, if you're the 76ers, the last thing you want is thoughts like that to enter Embiid's head. Because it's one thing for you to say, well, he can't go anywhere. We got him locked up till 2027. But what if he's miserable? What if he's unhappy? Then what do you have? So you got to get it right, and it starts with what's best for him. Not what's best for Daryl Morey and what he did in the trade. Not what's best for whatever head coach you're going to hire. Not what's best for James Harden. It's what's best for Joel Embiid. That's the moves you make based on only that. That's how I feel about it.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely have to include him because you want him to take ownership in the direction of this team. And you need to pull him aside and say, listen, if James Harden isn't your guy, then when he comes here and we have to eat some money, we'll trade his ass, right? Mm-hmm. If he opts in, we trade him. If he opts out, we keep him out, right? Because nobody's going to give him that money. So he's going to opt in because he knows that he's not going to get that money anywhere else, right?
But so he also knows that he's in a contract year. You cannot give him an extension. You just look at him and say, if you want to opt in, that's great. But we'll have to figure this out at the end of the year. Because I'd rather you walk.
Prove it, yeah. Let you prove it.
Then I get stuck with a player that, if Embiid's even saying it, and he said it publicly, Embiid said he's not the player he was in Houston. And Bart, if that's the case, then he's no longer a max player. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls on this. We'll discuss, again, the issues in Philadelphia, how to fix them. Bottom of the hour, we'll get deeper into it certainly as well. But coming up in just a few seconds, it's Game 7. Game 7 that we've got to talk about. One hotly contested series. We have a Game 7 because of what happened in this Game 6. And a budding rivalry between two stars? Ooh, it's real now. We'll get to that after Bart tells us about Vivid Seats.
The NFL schedule is out, and you can be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. Every power run, every Hail Mary, every touchdown celebration can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can earn free tickets from your very first purchase. Buy 10 tickets, get the 11th one for free. That's getting 10% back on every ticket. And the 50-yard line, from the 50-yard line to the end zone, Vivid Seats has you covered with tickets at great prices. Just visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. That's Vivid Seats. Life happens live.
Making Moves is brought to you by LinkedIn Jobs. Build your winning team today. Go to LinkedIn.com/sports.
It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's take William in New York on the whole Doc Embiid situation. What's up, William?
What's up, guys? Love the show. You guys rock, man.
Thank you.
Man, I tell you what's
looking. Here's the thing. I got a question. Mm-hmm. If Daryl Morey goes ahead and give James Harden that max contract, which everybody knows he shouldn't, but let's just say he does.
Mm-hmm.
Doc is the scapegoat. He gets fired, bringing D'Antoni. Now, we know D'Antoni's system is small guys, right? Joel Embiid, he will have no use for him.
No,
so
it's not true.
What are the chances? Huh?
No. Yeah, well, okay, finish your thought, though. What are the chances of what?
What are the chances that the Knicks would be on it? Because when the Knicks are good, the Knicks had a big. Hold up, hear me out. Knicks had a big, and we had a guard. That's when the Knicks are really good. And that Tony always had small guards, small lineup. That's how he was successful. What do you guys think?
The only thing I'll say to that is, if you remember Mike D'Antoni, I love Knicks fans already trying to find how can we benefit.
They're looking
from
for
this
that disgruntled star.
How can we benefit? You know, like, it's like you see the couple fighting and you're like, oh, you guys gonna break up? You know, like, but what I can tell you is this: in Houston, they had Clint Capela, and they made it work really well in high screen roll and a lot of lobs and stuff. And Embiid is not your typical big man. He can pick and pop, obviously. There's a lot more to his game, I think, than a plodding big man that D'Antoni never had time for. I do think it'll work. But I will caution this, though. I don't think it'll be Mike D'Antoni as the first choice. I think Sam Cassell, who's already on that bench and has put in a lot of time as an assistant coach in the NBA, that I think he would be the player's first choice there. That's at least – that's my take on this whole thing. We'll go deeper into this stuff. We got your calls, of course. We'll get to that. I just found it interesting that Stephen A., without saying it, sort of suggested that Harden was basically tanking to get – so Doc Rivers would be out.
How do you tank when you have an opportunity to win a championship?
He suggested that, man. He suggested that.
That would have been three in a row with an opportunity to close out or to win the series.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see any competitor. You know how, like, maniacal that would have to be that say, hey, I can't win this series because if I win this series, it's going to save Doc Rivers' job? After you guys just went together and put two in a row, they were going for three in a row. Like, I can't see that as being the case. He's just a guy that doesn't have the focus and the ability to dominate in long stretches, and he tapped out. He knew that he couldn't beat those guys.
He knew he couldn't win.
You couldn't win, and he didn't want to make it seem like he went 0-30.
Yeah.
So he tried to put it on other people. Let me facilitate. So if they miss, it's their misses. If I throw up 20 shots and I go 2-20, then they're gonna say, "Oh, look at the I threw the game."
He was so unbelievably bad in the second half of these games. And, the Heat defense you give credit to because they are tough. They get after it. They got length and everything like that they throw at you. And it seemed like when James ran into it, James just said, not going to do it. I think what you said is the best way to put it. He tapped out. Certainly did. But Luka Doncic and the Mavs didn't tap out last night. We got a game 7 on Sunday, Bart. At least one. We'll see if the Celtics can push one as well. The Celtics have a shot to make a game 7 as well. So does Memphis, of course, as you got two games tonight. It's the Celtics and the Bucks at 7:30. You can hear it on ESPN Radio at 7. And then you got the Grizzlies and the Golden State Warriors. That's a 10 o'clock game. Both games on ESPN TV tonight. But last night, Luka goes for 33 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, and puts on a show in Dallas. That's a weird series, right? The home team has just dominated the series. And Luka was fantastic. You remember in Game 5 that Devin Booker was kind of clowning Luka a little bit, right?
Yeah.
The one time he faked like laying there like he was hurt,
yeah,
and then looked at the camera and winked. And then when Luka had the ball, he was going to throw it to a ref, and Booker came by and like kind of tapped it away from him,
yeah,
kind of messing with him.
Like,
Luka looked back and like, okay, we're doing this. So a lot of the trash talk, a lot of that stuff going on, and Luka had the last laugh last night. Here's what he said about the trash talk.
I like when people trash talk to me. Gets me going. It's fun, man. It's basketball. There's going to be a lot of trash talking, and I like it. It's fun for me. It's competitive basketball, and I like it. It's fun for me.
Look what Devin Booker started, Bart.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you got to let the sleeping dog lie, right? He poked the bear, and the bear came back and bit him, and he's like, oh, crap, that bear is a bear. And listen, this is the thing. If Luka can ever start the season in shape like he is now, imagine what this guy can be, man. If he could continue to maintain this level of energy, consistency in his performance. Because we're saying, listen, 2 years ago when Paul George, Kawhi Leonard had nothing for this man, we knew he was special. And you talk about seat at the table. Who has the personality and the game to kind of be – I mean, he can be the next Larry Legend, right? He can be the next – Dirk Nowitzki, because he's animated. He gives you personality, though. Like, you didn't get this much personality from Dirk. You know?
No, but you got it from Bird, though.
Yeah.
Bird talked trash. He loved it.
You went
at him. He was coming at you. Like, there's something about Luka and Bird that is very similar. Not their games. Not anybody gets like, he doesn't play like Bird. No, I'm talking about just personality-wise, where he's up for it. Like, oh, you want to, okay. You want to clown me? Okay.
And he's bigger than you think. So even though he's not a defensive stopper, he's strong. He be bouncing dudes up off of him. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Guys separate when he runs into him.
And if you're the Suns, like, what did you just do? Like, Monty Williams after the game was livid. He was actually livid during the game. Like, he called timeouts, and you could just see his face looking at his guys. Like, what are we doing? Like, what? Like, and he said afterwards, I don't think we understood the desperation they were going to play with.
Yeah.
Like, and I think that says it all. Like, you guys took this too lightly.
And we
like,
thought,
it's a game 6, you get business taken care of, and then I got Booker after the game saying, oh, greatest two words in sports, game 7.
Yeah, okay. Be
Are
careful,
you sure?
Be careful what you wish for.
That's right, Bart, because I'm telling you, I thought about you when I was watching it late this game, because you know how much I'm a big Devin Booker fan.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of his. But I didn't like what I saw last night. And there's a part of me that's like, you mess around and lose this game seven to that dude on your court, the narrative's going to start coming for you, kid.
And then
and
even
you don't want that. Yeah.
And even Chris Paul, though. Chris Paul, we thought that a Chris Paul-led team was immune to having a flat game when it was business to be taken care of because he's had his heart broken so many times, being up 3-1 and lose so many series that he's lost that way, that he would be able to explain to them the sense of urgency, to explain to them how important to get these guys out of here. Because if you get into Game 7 and all of a sudden they go on one of these magic runs when Fitty Smith already starts hitting threes and everything he throw up is dropping, and you're like, oh, crap. It ain't nothing you can do about it when a team get hot from 3-point. Be careful what you wish for, and that's a cautionary tale to the Bucks tonight, cautionary tale to the Golden State Warriors. Now Draymond can say all he wants and how confident he is all that stuff, whoop that trick you want, but if that trick whoops you, then you know what I'm saying, you're gonna be worried about we let one get away.
You know, some people like when the trick whoops you. I'm just saying, you know, some people are into that kind of thing.
All right,
a 64 win team, think about that. A 64-win team out in the second round because they couldn't beat a team that has one star. I'm going to say it because it's true. A team that has one star. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls. I love it. The passion already starting. You know I love talking hoops, and we got NBA playoffs going on, so we got to get into that. NFL schedule has been released officially. I know it was a lot of leakage yesterday, but we got the official ones. The teams that are absolutely screwed. I mean, just screwed. And also, should Tom Brady have said, I'm going to go in the booth this year when you see his schedule. Lots to get to. Baseball, all of it coming up. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Han.
Mom Spaghetti. See, this is us. You know that, right, Bart? This is about us.
Off of the hype list,
you know what I mean. This is on the mixtape. Yeah, this is definitely on the mixtape. We'll be releasing the mixtape. It's Friday, so let's release the mixtape today. Oh, there goes Rabbit. Oh, don't get me hyped now. Spartan Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We want you to try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G and America's best networks. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. So, we got the NBA playoffs going on here. So, the conference playoff schedule, I was just looking at it because we do have at least one Game 7. We could have a couple, depending on what happens tonight. But the Eastern Conference Finals right now, with Miami already in it, set to begin Tuesday. Draft lotteries that night as well, Knicks fans. And then the Western Conference Finals would be Wednesday night, Game 1. So you have that going on. Meanwhile, Philadelphia 76ers, where will they be by next week when the Conference Finals begins with their coaching situation and everything else? To do that, we go to Philadelphia, talk to our good friend John Kincaid, 97.5 The Fanatic. You hear him there, of course, and you hear him with us right now. John, how we doing?
You could have heard me this morning if you rolled down your windows, just me yelling. I mean, we had a memorial service this morning. It was certainly not cordial. And there's a lot of people there. Believe me, there were a bunch of chalk body outlines by the time I was done at 10 a.m.
I don't blame you, but just just watching, to me, I know the blame's going all around, but Stephen A. said something last night in the post game of that game on NBA Countdown, and he said what I was kind of thinking, and I don't want to believe anybody would be like this, but he said it doesn't smell right. It's James Harden, and the way he performed, especially late in games, only one game, Game 4, did he give you a fourth quarter. But other than that, two shots in the second half, elimination game, your team facing elimination, all the criticism against you, and Doc Rivers' job probably on the line, and that's what you do. And Stephen A's like, I don't like what that looks like. And I think he's suggesting that James Harden kind of just like, you know, just as Bart said earlier in the show, tapped out.
Well, I think he absolutely tapped out. I said this morning James Harden quit on his third team in a matter of like 15 months.
Ooh.
Because that's what I saw last night. I saw quit. When Joel Embiid has a broken face, and a thumb that's going to require surgery within the next 10 days. Are you kidding me? You're James Harden? You're a born scorer, and you play that passively? You play that the negative energy guy. I mean, he honestly, he was trying to figure out who was going to be on the main stage later at the strip club and what was on the menu, because he had checked out. He had absolutely checked out, much like he did at the gym leading into last season, from what I hear in Brooklyn. He had checked out and then showed up and tried to get himself into shape. I'm disgusted. And I swear, I am banging the drum in Philly. I do not want any part of James Harden other than his. If he opts in for next year, so be it. He negotiated it. It's his contract. He gets it. I want no parts of an extension with James Harden. I've seen the end of the story. How many times do you have to say to the babysitter, don't open the door. Don't open the door, because the killer's outside. James Harden showed us what the ending is to his movie over and over, and people keep falling for it.
So if that's the case, what's James Harden's relationship like with the fan base, and could they force him out and force Daryl Morey to do something he doesn't want to do, which is move on from James Harden, even if he opts in? You know, you think about, hey, if it's not going well, you can try and move him and trade him, because I don't think that he has a no-trade clause. So, I mean –
No, he does not.
So
trade
what
him
do
for
you
Russell
do?
Westbrook.
Well, no. Oh, please. Would you stop it? Both of you, stop it. Don't give me more nightmares. I've already got one. Here's the idea. I don't think Daryl Morey's ego, and I think Daryl Morey's a good roster builder, even though this year he had to give up so much to get James Harden as far as the bench pieces. It ended up screwing them when Embiid got hurt. But what I would say is that you could have if Harden opts in, Bart, I'm telling you, I think he's there. I don't think there's any way that in any way you're going to see him traded. I think that if he opts in, they take the opt-in, and they hope they make it work, because I think Daryl Morey wants it to work. I think he wants his grand move of getting reunited with Harden to pay off. I got to tell you, I've seen enough. I mean, he's supposedly this hard worker. I swear he's sweating honey mustard, because he doesn't look like – I mean, L.A. Fitness ain't calling. Let's put it that way. And when you're not aggressive to the hoop, and you're settling for those clanky threes that, by the way, far too often hit the front of the rim, and my man Shaquille O'Neal, who I did podcasts with for years, would say to me, front rim, danger. When you see these shooters from outside, and they're hitting front rim, that's the legs. The legs are starting to go, and I saw it all throughout the postseason. He had some nights, he had some runs, but he didn't have the aggressiveness. I don't think he trusts his legs.
So if that's the case – if you're Daryl Morey, if you're the ownership group, do you go to Joel Embiid? Because it's important that, listen, he's your long-term star. That's the guy that you bought.
Yeah.
You know, you paid. Do you go to him? Because he said yesterday that this isn't the James Harden of Houston. So if that's the case, you traded a potential superstar in Ben Simmons. I know he didn't, you know, he had a lot to deal with. But that slot that you put James Harden in is reserved for superstar, not good player, not role player.
Is it Ben Simmons ain't no superstar, and Ben Simmons doesn't even have the mental fortitude to show up for work.
No.
They were going to go into this year's playoffs without Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
And without Ben Simmons wasn't contributing anything here.
No, that's
to go what you could get for him. He didn't have a market, Bart. He had no market. Nobody wanted Ben Simmons. Nobody wants him now. He's the cowardly lion without the yellow brick road leading anywhere.
No, what I'm saying is, you have a spot next to Joel Embiid that's reserved for a superstar. The money allocated for a superstar, not a good player, not a Tobias Harris type player, a superstar. A Bradley Beal may be the lowest superstar that spot's reserved for. How do you try to fix this wrong? Because doubling down on James Harden isn't going to get her done. And you only have a finite amount of time with Joel Embiid playing at this level. What do you do?
I agree with you. I mean, Joel's only 28. He just turned 28. So it's not like the clock's ticking on his. He's still got 5-6 years if he's healthy. And as you point out, if he's healthy, that's part of the key that you got to have. Bradley Beal, sure, it's interesting. That's an interesting thought. But again, I'm more looking at that Miami roster, which has 8 undrafted players on it. What I'm looking at it as, Doc, what are you going to do to develop talent? What are you going to do to develop the guys around it? And I'm not blaming Doc Rivers for the fact that a bunch of grown men making tens of millions of dollars showed up with that weak-ass effort last night. I'm not blaming Doc Rivers for that. Well, I'm blaming the gentleman who didn't show up to work. But I got to see some player development. And the Sixers, it's club med as far as practice. They are one of the teams in the NBA who practices the least. And that is crazy to me. When you got to teach, that's got to be in practice. And look, it's like club doc. It's like a country club for this practice. Yeah. And I don't like it. As a fan, I don't like it at all.
He's done that for years. We're talking with John Kincaid, 97.5, the Fanatic in Philadelphia. Just the eulogy of the Sixers season. And with that in mind, you mentioned Doc. And, you know, first and foremost, you talk about the process, and then you talk about, you know, the culture club down in Miami, which is the way to do it. The undrafted players you develop up or lose for a bunch of years and hope that the draft picks turn into something and you got one out of it. But you have a coach in Doc Rivers who's won a championship before, but he's had some history now, recent history, of just not being able to get out of the second round. It feels like the first move that'll be made there is that they'll get a new coach. Who do you think it's going to be next?
I don't believe it.
You think he stays? Okay.
I think Doc Rivers is staying. And I think Stephen A. sniffing around this story today, and I think his results are hearing the same exact thing. I think Doc Rivers is going to survive, mainly because of the fact that he's got 24 million dollars owed him. So unless Doc was saying I want out because he knows another job was out there for him, I don't see Doc's not walking away from 24 million. Nope. He's got golf dues to pay out there in LA where it seems like he wants to be. I've never heard of a guy linked to a job. He's in the second year on the job and he's being linked to the Laker job.
Yeah.
As if that's a better job. I mean, and to me, those leaks come directly from Doc's camp. They come directly from people tied to him. Like, hey, can we get Doc back to L.A.? He fits better here. Because this fan base cares. This fan base is scrutinizing. And last night after the game, Doc said he thinks he does a fantastic job, which I found really funny. Because the day that – well, if you have a crappy few months on the radio – and your boss says, John, you know, I'm not too pleased with these ratings, not too pleased with what you're doing. I go in and I go, you know, I think I'm doing a fantastic show. I don't know what you're talking about. Only Doc Rivers can do that because he's got $24 million on the books. He's got them over the barrel, not vice versa.
Yeah, the guaranteed money always makes it work that way. John, always great to catch
up
with you.
Absolutely, it does.
Thanks so
anytime,
much.
Anytime, guys.
John,
have a great weekend.
Woo-sah, man.
Yeah,
woo-sah.
No, John's feeling it today.
Chamomile tea.
That's the passion in Philadelphia, no doubt about that. All right, we've got your calls. Many of you want to weigh in on this, on the Sixers and where they go from here, and we'll get to your calls coming up next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We got people that want to talk about this. Sixers eulogy and where they go from here. We continue with your calls. Let's go to Texas where Mark is waiting. What's up, Mark?
Good morning, guys. Love the show.
Thank you.
I think Stephen A. is on to something. If you really think about it, a jump shooter doesn't forget how to shoot. Something's there. I don't know if he caught the Ben Simmons disease or what, but you don't forget how to shoot. James Harden was a jump shooter.
Well, they were taking a lot of pressure on him.
Yeah, they were.
You know, they were, especially the first two games. They were blitzing him, getting the ball out of his hands.
Faced a double team though. Ball?
No. It's the first time he faced a double team when you got no legs. You don't have the conditioning to keep up. See it happening with Chris Paul. Why do you think Chris Paul all of a sudden is having turnovers? Started with Alvarado in the Pelican series, right? Guys' legs get tired because now, listen, in the midst of load management and guys not playing a lot, all of a sudden now you're playing every other day. It adds up, especially when you're an older player that didn't care about your conditioning. That's important. That's why they're coming up short, because his legs are gone. So now he just defers because he don't have
the
energy.
So you're going to tell me he's going to come back next season knowing he's in a contract year and he'll be in shape, his legs will be under him, and he's just going to go crazy again.
Yeah, just like Aaron Judge won't get hurt this year because he knows he got money on the line and he's going to have his great season and he's going to fight through no matter what. All these little nagging injuries and stuff that you would usually take days off, he's going to push through because he knows how important accumulating numbers is for the argument at the end of the season.
We go to Reno. Brandon, what's up, Brandon?
Hi, my guy. Good morning. Love the show. If I were Joel Embiid, I honestly would be – pissed off because as a teammate, James Harden is, I think he checked out. I think conditioning is part of it just because he doesn't take care of his body and he is, you know, older. But he just was checked out. And I would, if I were Joel, I'd go to management and say, we need to get him either in shape on the diet plan or out.
You know what, Brandon? Here's how you do it. You don't give him an extension and you tell him he's got to play out his contract, Bar, right?
Yeah.
And he's got to show up motivated because he's got to want to get paid, right?
Lame duck. If that don't motivate him, then nothing will. So you got a lame duck anyway. I mean, if the fact that you have an opportunity to change the narrative, if with this big man, you get to the second round, mm-hmm. and you go against with the opportunity to go to the championship,
yeah,
what will motivate you then?
Yeah, we'll see if money is the motivator for James Harden. We got your calls and more coming up in 10 seconds. Stay with us.
Bart and Han.
It's Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So, Bart, I got a couple of games tonight. You got the Celtics and the Bucks. You got the Grizzlies and the Warriors. These are big game sixes.
Huge
we could
game.
Have some game sevens fired up. We already have one we know about. Speaking of game six, I've got Rangers-Penguins tonight to watch. You know I love my hockey. I love some Stanley Cup playoffs. And the Rangers are trying to force a game seven. They get their game five win. They stay alive. And Sidney Crosby, it's already been announced, will not play tonight for the Penguins. So now you got the Penguins have their third goalie, and now they don't even have their star player who has dominated the series. If you're yeah. like, how do you not, if you're the Rangers, find a way? Give me another gritty performance and let's go. So I got that going on. But here's my problem. I got a father-daughter dance tonight.
Yeah, man.
I got to take my girls to a father-daughter dance tonight. So I'm going to ask this question. I want to ask everybody listening. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, at Barton Hunt on Twitter as well. Am I a bad dad if I've got the games on my phone? Am I a bad dad if I'm just kind of chilling and on my phone, I'm checking in on Celtics, you know, Celtics Bucks, checking in on Rangers Penguins, maybe little Yankees. Am I a bad dad? Is that a bad thing to do?
You asking my opinion?
I'm asking you.
I thought you were asking the people. Listen.
Well, I am asking the people, but you can chime in too. Come on.
Take your little Bluetooth. Right, uh-huh. So it's, you know, it's inconspicuous.
There are no.
Yeah, close enough.
You mean my AirPods? Because
yeah, your
Bluetooth
AirPods.
Like
that's what I mean. That's what I mean.
But that's
Bluetooth, right? You got to Bluetooth it, right? So you put that in, just one of them. Uh-huh. Pop that joint in, right? Uh-huh. And then listen, it's gonna be like two dances that you got to get jiggy with it with her, right? And then other words, like those girls, they go get in a group.
Yeah.
And they get in a group, and they start doing their own thing, and they go get their own thing. So what are you supposed to do? You don't want to sit there and have to talk to dudes all day.
That's what ends up happening, though, is I end up – because you know that's what the girls do. They all run off.
Yeah,
it's
right.
not like what you think. It's not like dads and daughters
the boys.
Dancing. That doesn't happen. There's
two
no
dances.
Boys there.
Two, three dances.
The girls are all with them, each other, and they're dancing to every loud, crazy girl song out there. And dads just sit around staring at each other, and I end up – I've done these before. I ended up at a table, and I'm like holding court. Where it's like, what do you think of the Jets? What do you think of the Giants? How about the Yankees? What about the Mets? It's like.
That's why you put your earpod. That's why you put the earpod in. Say, hey, I'm watching the game, guys. I got to work tomorrow. But it's Saturday. I got to work tomorrow. I got to work tomorrow. I got to talk about this. Sorry, I got to go over here and watch this game. You put it in there. You watch. You check it out. That's easy peasy, man. That is easy peasy. Because you hold your phone. You got the earbuds in so you can hear. And you can see, and you watch the game. And when she come over and say, Daddy, your job is to make sure that she has the punch, she gets what she needs to drink, that she's dressed pretty, like I'm sure you already took care of that.
You take
pictures. That's it. You need 5 to 10 pictures. Take a picture with her friends for her. Mm-hmm. Then you go ahead and you – because they'll be doing selfies, TikTok. They'll be over there doing TikTok videos, bro. Then you take, like, some pictures for the album for you. You post one, you and my daughter, daddy, daughter's dance, and you good. You have fulfilled your obligation, right? You have exceeded expectations. And if you can mess around and hit one good dance so that she's the one who got the dad that know how to cut a rug with the modern dance, oh, man, she'll be the king. She'll be the queen of the school.
Too.
Just once. Just
Nobody
once.
Wants to see this.
Just
I
once.
Preserve my legs for the 2-on-2. You understand that, right?
Just one.
NFL schedules are out. We're going to play That's a Win, That's a Loss next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.